All right, we are live where we should be. I don't know, you'd be surprised, Lotus. If you eat a lot, you drink protein shakes, you can get huge.
I gotta get more whey. Try to work out. I don't got whey. I'm eating, and I don't know if I'm eating. I don't know how much should I eat a day. I'd say 3 steaks. I was like,
what? 3 steaks?
Not steaks, steaks. I mean, like strips of, like, they're thinner than what you consider a steak.
Okay, good. It's like, holy shit, how? 3
steaks. No, the protein grams is usually like just match body weight, and yeah, I mean, you that should suffice.
Maybe you gotta do more. I'll eat more.
A doo-doo more. All right, stream
Video
name.
Make games.
Making games.
Okay, so you can do 30 kilograms farting, right?
Yeah.
Does it scale about right, or am I a weakling?
I don't know, maybe I'm a genetic abomination.
That would be funny.
Well, how long have you been bench pressing?
Man, I think I went to the gym for a long time without bench pressing. But I guess half a year? And I just spent, like, a lot of time not doing it.
Yeah, you'll probably get back up there.
Right, I think cool. At my best, I was doing, like, 60. Farting.
I don't know. We'll find out if I'm a genetic abomination. I was looking it up. Like, women, like, max out, like, not too far from where I'm from. So I'm like, unless. Or maybe I'll just get there and I'll drop the bar and decapitate myself. And, you know, that'll be... That'll be it.
If you're 140 untrained, you should lift 110. 110 is what? 50. So I'm lifting what I should be lifting untrained. I guess that's what estrogen in my body does to me.
Yo, Mr. Kyle.
I don't know how much I can lift.
You don't know till you try.
I could lift. Okay, so I had a friend who came over and he was 200 pounds and I could give him a horsey back ride and like lift him up, if that counts.
That's pretty
I don't know what that does for you. Yeah, but it was a struggle. Like, it was hard for me.
I'll see. Maybe I'll try going all the way to freaking 70 kilograms. So I might be just underestimating. I remember when I went to the gym a lot, just doing what the instructor told me, and it's like, God, dude. Do these 12, gotta go late, etc., etc. And then I figured out strength training was a thing.
Yeah.
And I can just like do a lot more than I can for 12, and I just do 3 or 6. And then I did that, and I think I had 60. I couldn't get over 62 kilograms of weight. And then I put on like 16 pounds in 2 months or something, or a month. Really fast. 16.
Shit.
And so I could just be doing that again. I'm lifting 50 and thinking, oh man, I can't do anything more. But I probably can do 70 if I really tried.
Try. You gotta.
Tomorrow's chest, so I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I gotta add like fractional weights. I ordered like 1.25 pounds once. But but yeah, doing 3x5, I was able to move up like 10 pounds every like time. And then now it's 5x5.
Damn.
It's fun. I just like doing it.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
The face you made when you burped.
Dude, where do you live? You look like you live in a New Vegas.
Crack house? Crack den?
Yeah. Crack den.
Who's that in the background?
That's my roommate, Kaito. He's the guy who records. Say hi.
Oh, okay.
He's doing laundry currently. That's why he's walking in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this place is like the cheapest place in all of Hawaii. So that's why it looks like this. It's like Section 8 almost.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. That's why you gotta move out. You gotta go somewhere cheap, dude. Like Florida probably has a similar climate,
so pretty here.
And it's super cheap.
Yuck!
Probably not.
Yuck, you
rape.
Do not just insult me like that.
Probably
right?
Not.
Violence.
House invaded and raped. Just bet on that. I remember Sophia looking for houses, like, dude, there's these houses in Detroit. They're like $50. Yeah.
There's $1.
No, that
houses.
Is funny. You can find
houses.
Real crap shacks.
Yeah, and it's in hell.
Mm-hmm. Might have to run by a crap shack in hell and live there.
Yeah, you won't believe it. I can buy a crap shack in hell for $50. Can you believe that? It's a steal.
real Judaism hours.
Real. Look like sheep right now. You get eye bags? I get really bad eye bags. Look like infantile.
I don't know. I think I just have them perpetually.
You must not sleep.
Who doesn't?
At this point, yeah. Does anybody sleep right?
Oof.
Maybe I'll just make more food tonight and eat more. Mm. I'll just do that.
Yeah.
I got like pounds upon pounds of meat in my house.
Yeah. I mean, you're like 50-60% heavier than me, and I was eating like a buttload. So.
Yeah, I should be eating a lot more.
I don't know.
More.
Consider it.
Figuring, yeah. I should be eating a lot more. I am, I was at some point, I was thinking, like, 2 kilograms of meat a month. Yeah, that's probably good. And then I figured out, oh, yeah, that's ridiculous. I should be spending like $250 on meat, minimum, at this stage of my life. And I was spending like 30.
You eating your croissant? With your coffee?
Ooh. And then like black coffee without sugar. I just need some frozen pizza now to complete my day. Oh, I spilled it. No.
It's just Tyler 1 right before my eyes. It's freaking. I'm gonna make you spew it everywhere.
You almost got me there, cowboy. Oh, I got nothing to clean it with.
Well, am I getting an abortion ad on SoundCloud? It's telling me to abort my child. That's the ad.
Hold up.
I got an HIV ad. It's telling me to get HIV. Yep. British people and Brazilians in the chat. That's all it ever is. When do
For
I get
real?
To leave this planet? No. Nothing I hate more than British people and freaking Brazilians.
Interesting demographic. I just get Americans, mostly.
All the Americans homos? Are they busy sucking Puddin' Pops in the back alley for crack?
Time zone, maybe. It might be working.
Nah. Ooh, works. What? On a Monday morning? Work?
Alright, I'm back.
Normal people?
What'd you say?
You're a content creator, you wouldn't get it.
Content creator.
What's a content creator?
What's the one that? Who creates content.
What's
that?
I don't remember what that was. I don't remember that in class. What's a content?
A good video.
Why do you look so gooby right now?
Probably because I ate sugary foods yesterday, so now I'm inflamed again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. I'm lifting like... I think, what did I deadlift? I deadlifted like 50 kilograms today. And it was off a piece of chocolate cake. That's how I'm doing. You ask me how I'm doing? That's how I'm doing. Pre-train meal, piece of chocolate cake, and some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Give you right. Kick me right off, and I'm lifting.
All right, did you want to talk about the that Bible verse today, or
something else? It made me nervous.
Mm. One thing I know.
It's like when I saw the give to Caesar what is Caesar, and I thought, yeah, I bet everyone thinks the same thing I do about this line. I know what he means. Obviously, yeah. Like Caesar's not a good guy. I mean, he's the guy he outsourced Israel to is like killing Jesus. So that's probably obvious that, you know, Caesar's not a cool guy. And wasn't like 30 years ago the king trying to kill Jesus when he was a baby, and he killed like all the babies in Judea? Yeah. Isn't that obviously not a pattern of rulers not being good? So I get the implication there. And then I looked up meanings for that line, and it's like people saying, well, you gotta respect the authorities. I get it. Really, I do. You gotta respect the authorities. But define authority. That's the problem. It's like, you mean respect. Because they keep hearkening to the thing where it's like, yeah, a ruler became a ruler because God put him there. Oh, yeah? So God put Stalin there. And Hitler. And all the other dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. And it didn't seem like anybody was contending with it. Like, I found, like, one guy. And then when I looked really hard into it, I figured out the school of Salamanca that said basically my thoughts about it. Which was that, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, meaning do justice. And what is Caesar's? Nothing is Caesar's. Everything is God's. How could anything not be belonging to God? It's obvious. Like, comparing the two, Caesar isn't owed nothing. So it was just and Jesus would do that. He would do little trick lines like that to throw people off the trail and stuff. Every once in a while, at least. And then I saw this. And I don't remember where I saw it, but I finished reading Ecclesiastes yesterday. I'm reading Solomon's Canticle of Canticles now.
Mm-hmm.
And is the sound good? Am I not sounding like I have AIDS?
Yeah, sounds fine.
Sounds fine? Cool. The line was, let me find it actually in the DRBO because that's the one I like the best. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Thank you. Matthew 7, verse 11. 11? No, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there are who go in thereat. How narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. So I read that, and people generally take that to mean most people are going to go to hell. A few people will go to heaven. If you look it up, that's all you're going to find, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept thinking, like, I love the biblical lectures. I think they're, like, some of the best, the Jordan Peterson biblical lectures. I think they're some of the best things ever.
Yeah.
Like, ever in the past 3,000 years, like things that you could listen to and keep drawing stuff out of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that Jordan says in the biblical lectures that are unprecedented. So I'm always open to the possibility that people right now with like ridiculous tool sets like psychology, not that that's in and of itself ridiculous, but it seems to have nothing to do with it. They can figure out new things about things as paramount as the Bible. And I have that in my mind. Like, you can, with like a person in their backyard can figure out scientific discoveries and medical discoveries, you know, just twiddling their thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an impossibility. Just because it hasn't been found yet doesn't mean if somebody does point to something new, it's not possible. I guess that's the prophetic aspect of religion that my openness gears me towards. And I find it hard. First off, there's a gut feeling. I find it hard to believe that the majority of people in history are going to hell. It's a gut feeling I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not an optimistic person about the state of the world. I think the world is like, there's not a single place in the world that is like a safe haven. Everywhere is full. It has like one bad person. It has some system. So I'm obviously not idealist. Like, I don't believe the world is cool, and that if we were left to our own devices, and if we weren't brainwashed by capitalism, everything would be cool. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
It's an obvious disclaimer, but I still find it unlikely that most people are going to hell. If we're talking very literally here.
Yeah.
I'm taking destruction to mean hell. Not anything else. Eternal hell. Fire, brimstone, and then the great lake of fire.
What about purgatory if we're talking like people who are
that's
go
one possibility.
Directly to heaven versus like
That's one thing that I thought.
It's not like purgatory is nice, you know?
Yeah. It's not salvation in and of itself, but, you know.
Doesn't the Bible have, like, for people who never knew God, like, first of all, self-mentioned purgatory, but also they have the book of life and then the book of, like, good and evil or something? Like, they measure, like, for people who never knew God, like, what you've done throughout your life or something like that. Isn't that what happens if they never knew God?
Then they get the chance
to accept.
I mean, I have to think like a lot of people, like right now, a lot of people don't have access to even a church, or it's just like not even a religion in where they are, like, you know.
No education.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of impossible to even get like sacraments or anything.
Yeah, like, it took, like, it was just in the martyr in, the 2nd century that came up with mass. And if it's a sin to miss mass, then everybody until then go to hell? Or marriage. Marriage was even later. Like, marriage consecrated by a priest was, like, 5th or 6th century. So the people getting married up until then, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus, when he died, retroactively saved people that didn't know the extent of the law, which the conclusion of which was him, then it doesn't seem that crazy to presume that he can do that the opposite of retroactively, if he can do that to people after he's already come. Just people who haven't, because he did that because people before Jesus didn't have access to Jesus. So that's the principle. If you don't have access to Jesus, then there is a protocol for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be unable to access Jesus nowadays. Let's say you're born in China.
Yeah.
So, like, what happens to those people? They don't... So, obviously, there is a protocol for that. There has to be, because God is not unfair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Maybe if... So the first thing is that I find it hard to believe that most people are going to go to hell. I find it hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, what I think is, like, I mean, with that, you have to ask the question, well, like, God has foresight, obviously, even though we have free will. Like, would he have created humankind if he knew that the majority of them would just end up suffering forever?
Yeah. Which is jarring.
Yeah.
And I think counterintuitive. It makes me think of, I like talking about this specifically because it Man, I know so many people in real life and on the internet that don't know the difference between evangelical Christianity and Catholic or apostolic Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And they lump them in together and criticize things of one group that is actually part of the other group.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily of any group, is that they're attacking, or their perceived contradictions of it aren't contradictions if you take in the context of what group they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing in one of the five solas is sola fide, and it says that if you merely believe that Christ died and was risen, then you're saved. And that's very literally true. That's very literally what it was meant.
Mm-hmm.
To merely believe, that's enough. There's a caveat to the faith only thing, which is that if you truly believe, then you will work.
Yeah.
But then why would you specify faith alone if those mm-hmm. are one and the same? If it is one and the same, which is a good point,
mm-hmm.
then why would you specify?
Yeah.
Unless you are committing an error. Because mm-hmm. if it is the same, then you wouldn't say it. So I think that's bad and overly general optimism. And I think that there is also, and obviously that came about because of an unhealthy amount of optimism about changes in society in the Renaissance, because everybody, things were changing at a very fast rate, and the lack of a conservative temperament led them, everything is changing, so we can change the church too. And the answer was, actually, no, you can't. Because the whole point of the church is staying the same no matter what. Whether it's hip or cool or people are trying to kill you,
mm-hmm.
stays the same. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
So you can't just reform. Like, if you're going to figure something new out or establish anything new, you should go be really careful about it. And that optimism created that, created that error. But there's also an unnecessary amount of pessimism that might also lead into error. For example, the Calvinists, they have the doctrine of total depravity, which means that we, because of our fallen nature, we have no free will whatsoever, and it's completely up to God to elect people to go to heaven or to go to hell. So God is basically responsible for people going to hell in that doctrine.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's insane.
electing people to go to hell.
It's pointless.
It's not, because then there is no point. It's pointless.
It's not
too negative.
It's like, not only is God evil, it's all pointless because it's all predetermined anyways. So, I mean.
Yeah. And there is a compromise. Like, in St. Augustine's time, the imminent threat was of the inflation of free will. So at that time, it was very popular to exalt the grace of God above human free will. And I think that might have gone overboard a little bit, because eventually that led backwards into another error, which was the one of total depravity. Because I'm pretty sure Calvin did cite Augustine's writings against Origen, saying that human free will was powerless against forces of evil entirely. They had mm-hmm. no free will.
Well, that's part of sola fide, is that they claim that it's arrogant to say that your works could ever
redeem
you. Lest
they boast, that's what they say.
In any sort of way, which is also makes it pointless. So it's, you know, it's not even good, because it does nothing in the way of anything, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do it?
Okay. So, and that's a very complicated thing, because there is a place for human merit. How are you going to articulate that without exalting humans on their own? It's like the veneration problem. Like, you're going to venerate someone, it has to be in the scale of God, in the way that they are closer to God. You cannot exalt them for just themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's the same problem with human merit. It's the rate to which they're able to listen and obey to God and follow God. That's merit. That's human merit. But that is human. That is a choice. It's not God saying, okay, you're going to be able to heed my call, and you're not. Because that makes it pointless. Mm-hmm. And that's too much pessimism. And that, you know, that leads to Calvinism, and then that leads to nihilism. Because if there is no point, then kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because likelihood is you're going to go to hell. So it's mm-hmm. Pascal's wager backwards.
I mean,
the highest likelihood is you're going to go to hell, so why try?
Yeah, like, what's the likelihood that you're one of the, you know, one of the good people that he chose, one of the elect? And it also reduces God, because you're, like, insulting his creation, and you're deriding their free will and what they're able to do. Like, your good works mean nothing, even though it's, like, a smaller scale of divinity itself. But you're sort of insulting divinity in a way.
Yeah.
By insulting its extension.
It's a hard equilibrium, but it needs to be figured out. Like, it doesn't even have to be specific as to the degree in, like, what parts each play. God, you, and evil. It just has to be acknowledged that there is God, there is you, and then there is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those things are each other, but they're part of the whole. So there's that, and then there is the possibility that destruction might mean purgatory, because if you see people going to Gehenna, if you see people going into, you know, the world of the dead instead of heaven, you might think, oh, they're all going to hell, because mm-hmm. pictorially that's what it means. But purgatory is the same as hell. Mm-hmm. It's just temporary. That's the only difference. But mm-hmm. the suffering is at the same height. So in a vision or a revelation, it might look like that. And it's understandable that that would be the case. But it's not necessarily eternal hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this verse might bear more relevance to the topic of purgatory than the topic of are most people going to heaven, are most people going to hell. Like, I think this would be in favor of the establishment of purgatory as, like, a concept, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the other possibility is that if it does mean hell, if it does mean hell, most mm-hmm. people, but I'll get to the actual words here and be specific about it. How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. And what I paid attention to and what I focused on was the word find, because this was literally when Jesus was alive. So at that point, Christianity wasn't as huge as it is now, or as it has been for like 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity was strange, bizarre, and in a little tiny corner of the world, and completely ostracized by everybody who knew about it. So the people that find it truly are few. There were 12 of them. That's very few, because they found and they chose to believe, despite it being ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the word matters. The word find is relevant to the entire context of the chapter. In chapter 7 of Matthew, the first verse is, judge not that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. I think the point of saying few are the ones that find it is pointing out that pride is a danger. You won't find the way to heaven on your own. It's actually nearly impossible to do that. To, like, the way of heaven has already been established. obviously we have no say in that. Obviously we didn't have anything to do with that. But to try to figure that out, to try to actively participate in the guidance towards that, it's a very, very difficult task, which is why not everybody is a priest. Not everybody is a church doctor, because mm-hmm. it's very difficult to add something to the guidance towards the way that leads to heaven. It's actually almost impossible to figure something new out without creating a bigger problem. So it is poignant to say that few are those that find it, because most people who are going to go to heaven, they will be led there by a shepherd. So it's pointing out the necessity of the shepherd and the weakness that we have intellectually and as fallen creatures to find it out for ourselves, that we're not smart enough or have strong willpowers enough to do that. It's, which is why Jesus came. If we could, mm-hmm. if we had the power to figure it out, to actually heed and understand and keep to being good, then there would be no New Testament, because mm-hmm. everybody would be David and everybody would be Abraham and Moses.
Yeah.
There, in the Old Testament, there's not that many people who are those guys. There's like 50 or 60 mm-hmm. people who are honorable and actually partake in the guidance of that. But that's really difficult. That's really unlikely that most people will be murmuring in the tents and worshiping golden calves of their own accord. So with that in mind, you need a shepherd. You need someone to guide you. That's why Jesus came, because you on our own, most people will go to hell. And that's the Gnostic interpretation of it too, that salvation is a secret doctrine for very few people who are able to understand it and acknowledge it because they're smarter. And most people are ignorant and will go to hell, or will, you know, just degenerate spiritually because they can't handle it. They can't handle, you know, taking DMT and tackling on the DMT demons like that guy says. What's his name? the conservative Jewish guy. Mike Posner? Mike?
Oh.
No. Mike something. No, Mike. Who is Mike Posner? Oh, that's a musician.
Mike Posner? That seems a bit on
name?
The nose.
The guy,
Ben Shapiro?
The conservative Jewish guy who says, like, oh, I take DMT and I can handle it. What's that guy's name? Mike Wazowski?
Oh.
Just Joe Wazowski. Rogan. Conservative
What's
Jewish
that
guy?
Guy's name? Mike Wachowski.
Mike Wazowski?
Wazowski? Yeah, I'm thinking of Wazowski now.
Oh. Susan Wojcicki?
Mike Cernovich!
Oh!
Mike Cernovich. That's the Gnostic way to interpret that, is that mm-hmm. most people are ignorant to the true doctrine. The true doctrine is a secret, and you have to be strong enough to be able to take it
mm-hmm.
and evolve spiritually.
Well,
that's the Mike Cernovich answer to it.
Yeah, I thought of something that bears relevance to the Old Testament thing, which is that, like, I was thinking, like, why isn't the New Testament more straightforward? It's like, the people were already given the law in the Old Testament, and they threw it away. Like, the second they saw an idol, they threw it all away. Like, oh, dude, it's gold. That's crazy. Like,
yo, this is gold, though.
Yeah. So that whatever that is, that doesn't work. So people have to accept that they have to be shown it. They don't find it usually.
Yeah, you won't find it. That's mm-hmm. the whole thing. And that's very poignant, because since for months now we've been constantly headbutting against doctrines of you got to figure it out by yourself. Like DIY spirituality, we've been talking mm-hmm. about that for a bunch of videos, of like take DMT and talk to the entities and try to figure it out by yourself. Find your own way to God. You won't find your own way to God.
Mm-mm.
You really won't. Follow your bliss. All that stuff. It's New Agey stuff. The astrology and whatever else. It won't work because you're not smart enough to filter the bad information, because
mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to see people saying, yeah, they told me I take DMT and I talk to these demons, but I took DMT and it was like this very exhilarating experience, and it felt very good and blissful, and the beings I talked to there were very positive. Yeah, dude, people can lie to you. Imagine angels with like 1,000 IQ. They're probably 10,000 times better. You get tricked by a woman. A woman can make you feel good and then trick your soul out. You think an angel can't do that? If man can do it, angels certainly can. They can do it better. They can insert all sorts of feelings in your mind, control the way you feel and the things mm-hmm. you see, especially when you do drugs. They can manipulate every single feeling of yours. So, like, how impossible is it that they're emulating it and you're just believing it because people can do
so, that. It's so freaking naive. Why would these high spiritual beings entertain you of all people?
They don't need you. Unless they're demons, and they do. But
yeah,
then they're
unless
demons.
Unless they do need you, which is, why would they need you?
Yeah, unless. If they need you, then they're beneath you.
Yeah.
Because they're dependent on you, so mm-hmm. you are necessarily greater than them. Then they're demons, and they want to, you know, enslave your soul forever.
Yeah.
This topic might be closed at this point because this is very good.
Yeah,
it's gonna
yeah.
do a very good highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Got any other Bible verses we can talk about? Lotus is almost entirely silent. I don't know why.
Get anxiety.
What do you think about it? I mean, I don't know. Have you been exposed to any New Age or occult stuff?
All the time. Actually, the thing that I want to go back to really quickly is, like, obvious, because you say that there's some, like, variations of Christianity that say that it's not our will, but one of God's greatest gift to us aside from his son was our free will, and that's obvious in Genesis where we choose to eat the fruit. God knew that we would choose to eat it, but he let us do it anyway. Therefore, we do have free will, and it's not God's choice. That's why he gave us the gift, so our love for him can be pure
mm-hmm.
and real.
Yeah, because it's more sinister to create a being that is, you know, programmed to love you like a sick freak. So it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
It'd
by
be
choice.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, God didn't
so,
want,
like playing The Sims.
Didn't want poor babies.
Yeah.
To, like love them.
Yeah, he didn't want to create like OCs and do his self insert where all the characters love him or whatever.
That's so lame. He'd have no benefit from that anyway if it was all made up.
Yeah.
Like, what would he get out of that? Literally nothing.
Yeah, like, what's the point of creation if you control it all?
Mm.
What's the point of creation if, like, you... Not to even think from the perspective of God, but what would be the point of creation if it's not creation, if it's, like, if it's all set beforehand? That would be violated. Then there was never free will, and then there is no point in expounding. There's not even a point on thinking about it if there is
mm-hmm.
no free will. And just kill yourself. If God wants you to go to heaven, you're gonna go to heaven. So doesn't make a difference.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy. If you're like. If you divinate that you're one of the chosen, you can just I can do whatever I want now. Like
yeah,
I end up there.
It's Raskolnikov. It's Radia all over
yeah.
again.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, I'm one of the chosen, so I can do whatever I want because I'm chosen.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
special.
Just that's the religious version of it. The nihilist version of it is well, there's no way to prove that anyone else actually exists or is even valuable, so I can do whatever I want. That's self-serving. And then
yeah.
you kill someone and you realize it's not that easy.
Yeah.
So
that's real fun.
Yeah. Crime and punishment.
I was checking Constellation again, and I feel like I gotta read that again because it's too thick. It's too crazy. And I was like, when did he live? Like 8th century? It was sort of early game, right? Boethius?
Boethius. I was thinking... Yeah, okay.
6th century.
Mm-hmm.
It's even earlier. That's so crazy that a guy figured that out. Really read Consolation, because it's one of the most... People talk about C.S. Lewis. I read C.S. Lewis, and he's good. But Boethius is unbelievable.
Mm.
Like, unbelievable level of insight.
It will take a while, because I have to finish this piece of shit.
What is that?
It's Tolstoy, War and Peace. That's what I'm
sick. It's got a really nice cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? It's a special edition. That's why I got it.
Like, shit. Yeah, and I was so frustrated earlier this month, because I was trying to find, I was trying to gift my Brazilian friend, a copy of the Iliad. But there's a bunch of different translations to it, and the good translations didn't have nice covers.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent, like, I think I spent literally hours looking for a good translation and a nice cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I found one that was good. It wasn't hardcover. It was a paperback, and that mm-hmm. depressed me very much.
Yeah. Book covers are so not good on the whole.
Yeah, right?
No one
they suck.
Puts any effort into it. A lot of them have like similar style. I'm thinking like Penguin Books, and it's just not good. It's like just you know, bad paperbacks. And I'm thinking it was all inspired by one homo. Yeah.
They're usually very modernist. Like, sleek,
oh, I hate modern.
And like big, thin fonts.
Yeah. I think about a lot of things. Sometimes. With cars, it had to be one homo guy who everyone started copying, but he just sucked. So.
I have the Filthy Frank book near me too, and it's like, it looks like the Bible. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, Victor starts smiling.
He makes a lot of biblical references.
Cool. Makes a lot of what?
this book makes so many biblical references, and nobody catches it because I think the people who read it don't know God. But he makes so many Bible references in this book. It's so weird. So I feel like it's fitting.
Going Pudding Pop lip mode.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, the forehead vein popping out.
Yeah. Are you deadlifting right now under your desk?
Yeah, I'm deadlifting with my toes.
Yeah. Well, gosh. You want to know how I broke my toes? The barbell.
You go to the doctor. Yeah, I broke every single one of my toes. How did you do that? Yeah, you don't want to know.
Guess. Ooh.
Not a single bone in my foot, only the toes.
Let me look it up. Really, why do book covers suck? Well, before printing, maybe this is like printing press fault, because before printing they had people like manuscript writers
manually doing it. Yeah.
Would manually copy it, and they would make it really like beautiful by having like mm-hmm. illustrations and calligraphy and stuff.
Dude, everyone's really gotta read Ecclesiastes. It's one of the best ones, and it's cut out of Protestant books. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. They don't have them, and it's like one of the best ones. They didn't cut out like the historical books or anything. They cut out Ecclesiastes, which was like one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find an OT book that has as much like prophetic and abstract information than Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, and like, didn't they cut out James because it says you need faith and works?
Did they?
I know that's a verse in James. I doubt they would keep it in.
Book of James. Let me see if it is.
They didn't cut it out? Then that's, you know, isn't that like weird. A glaring contradiction?
Yeah.
Because my thought would be, oh, you can't, you obviously wouldn't be able to use that against them because they had to have cut it out and say, oh, it's just not legit.
It's fake, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is there. Oh, okay. No, it's not. For the most part, until the late 20th century, the Epistle of James was relegated to the benign disregard, though it was shunned by many early theologians and scholars due to its advocacy of Torah observance and good works. Famously, Luther at one time considered the Epistle to be among the disputed books and sidelined it to an appendix. Okay, so it's not official. Mm-hmm. He doesn't consider it inspired. It's part of his large catechism, but it's not inspired by God. Mm. So it's apocryphal.
Faith without works is dead. So yeah, obviously,
you can't really work your way around that one.
if Luther found that to be disputed, then what he says about faith obviously cannot include works.
Yeah,
the whole thing about like if you really believe it, you would act it out, and that shows your belief. Obviously, he didn't believe it. Literally, you can only believe. You don't have to do anything else.
Is there any other Bible passage that's interesting?
Like when God says how to pray, Jesus says how to pray, he says to actively like repent from your bad work, you know, like or your bad actions. So that would also be a contradiction.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's plenty of that. Like,
there's things you have to do, obviously.
There's also the rock thing.
Actively sin.
You know the rock thing, right, Lotus?
Where he splits the rock in half?
Huh?
Where he splits the rock in half?
No, that's Moses. Oh, I'm talking Jesus rock. Oh. Not Jesus. Well, you know what I mean. I don't have to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't he who knows no sin cast the first stone.
Oh, are you talking about when he says, Peter, you are the rock of
yes,
the church?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I forgot the name of the book, though. What was it?
You remember? I don't know. It was probably in Matthew. I don't know.
You a Christian? Just okay, look, name every book of the Bible.
Starts turbo pop. Okay.
Matthew 16.
Mm-hmm.
I see a rock. Okay. Okay, so I thought, it's chapter 16 of Matthew. Matthew has a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's verse 18. And Jesus says to Simon, and let me get this straight, but St. Peter's actual name wasn't Peter, was it?
It was like Simon Peter. They call him both. His name was Simon. Then Jesus called him Peter. I don't know what the OG language significance of that would be.
Yeah, because from first I saw the actual verse is, and I say to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And I thought, well, he just made a pun with the guy's name, but his name wasn't Peter. So it was very like deliberate. You are Peter, which, you know, in the Greeks was very similar to rock.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the Latin reflected this too. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. So it associated Peter as the foundation of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that it wasn't a coincidence that his name was that. Jesus literally gave him that name.
Mm-hmm.
to appoint him to that office. He wasn't saying, your name is Peter, and I guess you're a member of my church. He was saying, you are the rock. It's important that you are the associated to the church.
Yeah.
So there is an importance to it. It's not just a coincidental occurrence.
I just like the sound of it. You're Peter now.
Yeah, you are the rock. You shall be the rock of the church. Hence, you are Peter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you are Peter, so I guess you're gonna be famous. it was an appointing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And thou art a rock, and upon this rock, yeah, that's what it means. And it's really hard to get into the little details of it, especially when there's so much. There's so much easy misunderstanding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the craziest ones is that evil exists on its own, that is. Like, evil is the absence of good. That's its correct definition. But mm-hmm. in common understanding, it's very easy to find people that behave or believe particularly that evil is a force of its own, which it's not. And that seems sort of, why does that matter? But it does. It like ripples out in a really crazy way.
Mm-hmm.
And the same one goes for a bunch of these minor differences between Protestant denominations and apostolic denominations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, they have service. Isn't that the same as Mass? Or, well, I confess to Jesus. Why do I have to confess to the priest? And why can't the priest marry? Mm-hmm. Does it make a difference? Like, why isn't it just a, was it there? Is there any difference between a priest and a pastor? On the surface, it's like, yeah, why do we have to go to church and, you know, eat a wafer? That's so retarded. But when you pay attention, it's like, oh, well, there's actually, like, they Protestants talk a lot about, this is going to become very much anti-Protestant, inevitably. But there's a lot of the focus on being scriptural, and purgatory is not scriptural, Mass is not scriptural. None of these things are scriptural, but that's not true. There are a lot of bases for every single one of these sacraments. For example, the when you marry someone in an apostolic denomination, you can't divorce. And that's important. As Jesus...
Unless they cheat established, on you. I think that's the exception.
I think it's like, because he says it can be annulled.
You cannot put away the marriage unless they are like fornicators or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so it's the annulment in the apostolic succession. The annulment means that when you guys were getting married, one of you didn't mean your vows, and that means that the ceremony is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
So, isn't that all Christians? I thought Christians like what? I thought they always believed like
that's Catholic marriage. And Orthodox.
Oh.
Pretty much.
But it says in the Bible. It says in the Bible.
Yeah, it says in the Bible.
I guess
who interprets it?
Wasn't that important in the anyways then? Where people are so
yeah, it's in the
you
Bible.
Can only
but
have
who
scripture.
It?
But, you know.
Is it like do you have to have any sort of authority to interpret it in without the apostolic denomination? You don't. You don't have to have any authority to interpret the Bible your own way.
Mm-hmm.
You can interpret it any way you want. And that's the problem. Because
which includes, like, oh, this is a funny one. When it says the disciple that Jesus loved, it means he's gay.
Yeah.
What?
I've heard that one before.
Or like when Moses was talking to the bush in fire who was smoking weed. That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Canaan, it's the city of cannabis. All that stuff. That's one of those are the best ones. The Rastafari interpretations of it. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
Dude. But yes, sacraments are all based directly. There are seven sacraments, and they're all Bible based, like Jesus established. You've got to look hard enough, and that includes like marriage. You can't divorce unless you can prove that one of the people during the vows didn't mean it when they were saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But in Protestant denominations, you don't have to have the it's not annulment, it is divorce. You can undo those vows. It's an undoing of them.
What if someone like got like extremely mentally ill and was very violently abusive to their partner? Would you still have to stay married to them?
You lock them up, you put them in a mental institution. Why do you have to get divorced, though? It's not like you're, like, bound be near them, even.
Yeah. I mean, if they were mentally ill, insane when you married them, then there is grounds for annulment because he's crazy. He believes in, you know... It's hard to say he believes in anything that's absurd because when you do DMT, you see all those things and they're real. But these people, like, if it's a mentally ill person, you marry them, then they might be under the influence of mental illness when they say yes. So that might be grounds for annulment. But if if it's 100% sure that they became mentally ill after you married them, you still love the person you married. You just don't like getting pummeled by a mentally ill person. So you get rid of a mentally ill person and you want your husband back.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want a divorce. Why would you want a divorce? Unless you didn't love your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, why did you marry him? So follows that. It's tautological. It's obvious. You can explain these things without any external information. You can understand how they work.
Mm-hmm.
But so there is an internal consistency. But in Protestant denominations, it's you can just divorce.
If the disciples have no authority, why did Jesus leave?
Repeat that. Sorry.
If the apostles or the disciples or whatever you want to call them in the line of succession have no authority, how could Jesus leave?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's why it's crazy because this has symbolism attached to it. Protestants don't use crucifixes because they don't believe the body of Christ is on the earth anymore. He left.
Hmm.
Because his job was 100% done. Anybody who believes in Jesus is saved, so he doesn't need there is no necessity for a church, for the church to be literally the body of Christ on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, if either he abandoned everyone and mm-hmm. he doesn't care, or his job was 100% done and nothing you do matters.
Mm-hmm.
It necessarily leads to one of these nihilistic conclusions.
Yeah.
These guys are goofy.
But that's us even ignoring the verse where he gives them the power to forgive sins, and so.
Yeah, but that's crazy that he does that.
Yeah.
But,
what verse is that? I want to see that.
It's either like whatever you loose on earth is loose.
Oh yeah, it's
heaven.
Right after.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody bind? Because I always say, like, if someone says, oh, I'm going to die young, I'll say I bind that in the name of Jesus. Does that not work for normal people? That anyone can do that?
Well, he was talking to Peter when he said that, and by extension, the like apostles and, I guess, rulers of the church.
So normal people cannot bind words?
I don't know. It depends on what that means exactly.
Like, just to, like, rebuke or, like, cast off, like, because your words have power. Sometimes when you can speak things into existence, you have to be careful. So when someone says something harmful, I try to, like, I'll say I bind that in the name of Jesus and pray that, like, they're protected from their selves. Mm. Sometimes people say terrible things, and I try to, like, oh.
I don't know. I never heard of that.
Oh, really? I always bind things. Now I hope it's not some dumb superstition.
I mean, the priests and members, clergymen, they have a specific power given to them by the apostolic succession.
Oh, and it's not just that one. It's not just the binding and loosing. It says in John 20:23, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven, which means you have to go to a priest.
That's so good.
Because if you don't, they're not forgiven.
So clear too. How could anybody? That's so crazy. Anyway, man. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the clergymen have a specific power given to them with the apostolic succession, which is that they govern the business of the way of life, leading people to heaven. So they're confessing to them matters, being administered mass and communion by them matters, but they're not wizards. They can't cast spells.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not specifically given the power to cast spells. Anybody can cast spells, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
Not that they work in the way that people who believe in them work, but they are, like, if it didn't matter to say, you know, if it was truly like, yeah, there is no such thing as witchcraft, okay, then if I say I curse the name of someone, it doesn't matter at all. Jesus doesn't care about that. I found that hard to believe, and it's literally, you know, impossible. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's something important about the things that come out of your mouth. And if you say you're going to curse someone, it actually means something. Not necessarily, you know, giving them a Minecraft debuff, but it works something. You can work something there. Something's going on when you curse somebody and when you bless them, because we are told to, you know, bless people. So what's going on there? What exactly are witches doing?
Working with Satan, probably. Speaking terrible things.
What are the powers of Satan? Because,
well, usually it's not just saying stuff. Usually they have to sacrifice something up to, and then that's like opening a doorway. God is like, all right, you don't want to be with me, you want to serve these things, all right, and then they start coming through, basically.
When you have problems, ask, you know, Mephistopheles to help you out. Let's see how that goes. Let me find it. The Temptation of Christ. Temptation of Jesus.
Satan offers him the wall.
Because, this is another verse that is very interesting and that we need to talk about, because it's one of the most, like, focal points of my understanding of everything. Like, this is basic world phenomenology here. When Jesus was in the desert, getting tempted by the devil, Satan took Jesus up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, all these will I give thee if falling down thou wilt adore me. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that say about, you know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and all that?
Because
I mean, we've talked about that one before. It's kind of obvious, like, well, how
for
does
us,
he...
it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how people interpret that one, because I haven't looked at that one, but it seems pretty obvious, like, how could Satan give the kingdoms to you if he doesn't own them? And you have to bow down and worship him? That sounds a lot like what people do in power.
Hey, I have a Bible passage as well. Wait, I have to look it up. I don't know the exact one.
All right, doo-doo?
Deuteronomy?
I think that was in the Bible. What kind of apocrypha is that?
Well, somewhere in the Bible. I have to find the exact...
Wait, hold up. I have to finish this one first.
Okay.
I think the common understanding of this line is that Satan was lying, and he doesn't have the power to all the kingdoms in the world.
Mm.
And he is a liar, so it is a good understanding.
Yeah.
But Jesus doesn't say that. And, like, his rebukes to the devil's temptations, they're very specific.
Mm-hmm.
When the devil says, you know, I'll give you bread if you worship me, he says, not in bread alone doth man live.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, you can't give me bread.
Yeah.
He says, you can give me bread, but that's not what the goal is. I'm not looking for material pleasures.
And when he's tempted to, you know, kill himself, basically, he says, you shouldn't tempt God. And I'm thinking that if Satan didn't have the power of all the kingdoms in the world, Jesus would point it out at some point.
Yeah.
But there's not that much exalting the virtue of worldly powers.
Did I just join a Bible study? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, pretty much. Are you guys baptized? Yep. Oh.
Last year, got baptized. So.
Wait, all of us, have we? Lois, what's up with you?
Yeah, wait, I've been...
In what kind of church, though?
Yeah, we talking about him.
Yeah, I haven't been baptized in the Catholic... I've been baptized twice, actually.
By who? Because I think Catholics recognize certain ones if it's done in the Trinity, basically.
Like marriages, they recognize some, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in non-denominational church, so I just...
Oh, what did they say when they did it? How was the procedure? I don't know. I guess you were a baby or something, but... baptized twice?
Oh, they didn't say much. They were sucking my uncircumcised penis.
Yeah, when I was a baby, I think I was baptized actually in a Catholic church when I was a baby. And then, when I got older, we went to like a new church and they were just having a baptism. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should do that to like renew my belief with God.
Get baptized by every single denomination of Christianity.
Make sure. It was just a non-denominational church. They prayed. They said some stuff. Mm. I don't really remember. But like
if you got the Catholic one, then you're set for that. Just get confirmed.
Yeah.
I could probably redo it if I officially like do Catholic stuff.
There's a thing about this became a problem for Orthodox people too. The doctrine of transubstantiation, which is like the wafer and the wine becoming Jesus's flesh and blood. That Protestants simply don't believe in that. They think that has nothing to do with anything. It's completely anachronistic for them. And I'm not sure what that's about. I don't know. Does Luther talk about communion? Because there's not even a semblance of communion.
How many people actually believe in transubstantiation beside Catholics and Orthodox?
Even the Orthodox have a problem with it. I don't remember what it was, but it was like I don't know. It was like it needed to be more mysterious or something. It was something along those lines that the Orthodox were saying.
Mm.
Anyhow. If you don't believe in communion, like the wafer and the wine turning and literally having a paranormal aspect to them, being attributed to them by God, then how does baptism matter? Because it's just water. It is just water, unless you believe it has a magical importance. Mm. But then why can't the wafer?
That's a good point. It might be because, like, the water is, like, it calls down the Holy Spirit rather than being, like, inherently infused. It might be something, like, really semantic and retarded.
It might be. We should look it up, though. Mm-hmm. We should look into it. Pull that up, Jamie. Pull the Orthodox explanation of communion, Jamie. Hold up, I gotta close my door.
I need to do Bible study with Joe Rogan.
Wait,
Jamie.
What did you say? I need to do bowel study with Joe Rogan?
Bowel study?
Jeez, I wouldn't want to see that happening.
I need to do a bowel study on Joe Rogan. What's going on in there?
Yeah, I got baptized, got bar mitzvahed, circumcised.
So can I get a rundown? That's the topic here. We're going over just random verses that are interesting.
Random Bible stuff. Cause there's a lot of interesting going on here. So yeah, yes, I do believe Satan has the power of all the kingdoms on earth. Otherwise Jesus would say, you're lying.
Yeah, that's true. It's rare that people get as autistic as we do about it though. Like looking at all the things, but...
Oh, I found an interesting verse. Satan, because you're saying that Satan has no power, but Satan does. I remember when God, I can't find the exact place, but when God cast him down, he gave him some authority. That doesn't mean he owns the earth. God obviously is overall has authority, but this Bible verse in Job says,
Jove?
It's Job. Job.
Nice.
My eyes. I'm tired.
I love anglicization, dude. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Man asses. I love that too. Mm-hmm. It's a job in man asses.
Sorry, my bad. Okay.
No, not says, your bad. It's English. Mm-hmm. It's English doing a fine job.
Okay. He says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan said, Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered to the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And then does Job fear, Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so his flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and surely will curse you to your face. So over here, it's saying that he walks back and forth freely on the earth. So he does. Mm-hmm. And then it also says, like, another Bible verse that, like good God following, like, people who are part of his family are of the world. So that implies that the world, like, there's a negative connotation around the world. So that means that I think that Satan does. And then look at the people that are in charge today. Like, they're clearly, like, a lot of them work for Satan's kingdom.
Yeah.
So I think that the planet. Well,
the people that have been in
there
charge
is a lot of
always. Yeah.
Always. Yeah.
It's been
yeah.
Like that forever.
It's not a good world.
In the Old Testament, which is extremely old.
Mm-hmm.
Moses times, okay? Moses in short pants. He meets the court wizards, and the two court wizards, I mean, like, there's the king, and then right after him there are the court wizards.
Mm-hmm.
They had power. They could turn staffs into snakes. And this is, what, 4,000 years ago? So even back then, the king was, like, a one step away from hardcore Satanists that had magic powers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about here. So how is it that crazy to think that Satan has not infiltrated the highest levels of world government? Because mm-hmm. he had already done that in, like, Egypt 4,000 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Israelites are, like, introduced and chosen in the first place, because all of the kingdoms surrounding them, and specifically kingdoms, because they were not a kingdom, because God said, because
cool.
once they asked for a king, they got punished. But so they're all the kingdoms around them were so awful that they had to kill everybody inside and just raise them entirely and destroy everything. And that was, you know, that was how it was back then. So
it is, like, in early, like, Paralipomena and Deuteronomy, the early Jewish history books in the Old Testament, there's a lot of very interesting things going on that it doesn't sink in instantly. For one, there is a recurrent theme of God being angered when the leader of Israel counts the people. And what I was thinking about when I was talking about the idea that most people are going to go to hell. It is very recommended by every priest, by every catechism, that mm-hmm. you don't speculate or claim to know who's going to go to hell. Ever.
Yeah.
And I was just reading Ecclesiastes, and it echoes that sentiment. It says, don't presume to know the way of God, because you're, like, 99.9% of the way, of the time, you're wrong. So if you're not sure, don't talk about it. And that was one of the things that became relevant, like, way later on. Until, like, yesterday, I didn't know what was the counting. Why was the counting bad? How was counting people bad? And I think it said that it was something revolving around pride. I thought, how could that, like, sort of get that, but really, just counting? And then it struck me, okay, yeah, statistic thinking reduces people to, like, numbers. And that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to it's not intuitive and it's not natural. It's anti-natural order to think that way, to see things that way. It's not for us. And the other thing is when the book of Samuel, I might be wrong about this, but the books of Samuel are not in the Protestant Bible either. I might be wrong about this.
Mm.
So for us, it's Kings 1 through 4, but for them, they only have Kings 1 and 2. It might be Book of Samuel. Let me look it up.
There was another one you sent before in the Book of Psalms, Psalm 145, 2, which is, put not your trust in princes, in the children of men in whom there is no salvation.
Yeah. Like, I get that contextually you can have differences. Like, for example, when David was king, he was obviously appointed by God. The road to kingdom that David went through was directly guided by God. But you can't say that about modern presidents or even any of the other kings from back then. It was only David and only Solomon after him and only Samuel before him. So it's true insofar as it is written. If it is explicitly stated, this person was put in power by God, then yeah, that's true. But if it's not, then why would you presume that? You shouldn't presume that. Because there is nothing stopping Satan from getting people elected into, you know, any sort of representative power.
But I mean, if some king decides to translate and basically forge a version of the Bible to suit his power-hungry needs, he can just spread his false message around to peasants. In that case... Hold on.
Oh, okay. It's, Samuel 1 and 2. It's called Samuel. It's a different book, but in the original Vulgate, it's called 1 Kings and 2 Kings. There's 4 kings instead of 2 kings and 2 Samuels. Got it. But it is in the book. And it is something that's very important to figure out. That when there are the judges. Before kings, there were judges. And that God was okay with. If I remember correctly, he had no problem with the judges at all. And people only went to them for judgment. Like, we have this problem, can you figure it out for us? And the judge is judged as appointed to them by God. Mm-hmm. Very much like a priest thing. And their resolution was God's resolution he gave them that power. Which is very reminiscent of ecclesiastic hierarchy, actually. That's crazy. I didn't notice that. And God was okay with that. God was cool with the judges. You read Book of Judges, God doesn't get pissed off about it. But when Jews start saying, everybody else has a kingdom, we want a king too, God punishes them. And they still keep asking for a king. And man, I remember reading Samuel and thinking, wow, does nobody read this? Because Samuel goes to God and says, God, people want a king. And God says, it's a terrible idea. They don't actually want a king. It'll be terrible for them. And Samuel goes back and says, this is what God said. Terrible idea to get a king. You're all going to wreck yourselves. That's how it is. And they completely ignored Samuel. And then God, this is how crazy. God gives them a king and it goes terribly as he predicted. And I don't know if everybody else thinks the same way we do about this specifically, but isn't it very obvious that like augmenting a government structure is like creating a government structure, because before it was just judges. Mm-hmm. Creating a government structure necessarily means putting men in the power of God. Giving men a power that they don't actually have. It's a big lie how these people don't actually have power.
Yeah, but Trump is cool, dude.
Doesn't the Bible also say that you have to follow men's, like, or be be loyal to your slave owner or something like that. Like, follow man's law so long as it doesn't, like, contradict God's law. I'm butchering it.
Yeah, follow man's law as long. It's the same thing with parents. Yeah. Obey your parents insofar as they don't disobey God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if they don't obey God?
If something they say is contradicting God, you override it, obviously. And if you get, like, martyred in the name of God, that's actually what I'm talking about.
It's in the catechism. Mm-hmm. It says in the catechism that you are to observe the law of man insofar as it is contained within the law of God. But
just to keep law and order, but it's not even remotely
law and order. What if I can, like, objectively figure out that there is no way that that's even possible? Like, there's a difference between, let's say, we all agree to a set of laws within, like, you're in an apartment building, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are rules within the apartment building that you agree to when you're going to move into the apartment building. Fine. If you were to break those rules, then yes, you'd be in the wrong. But you agreed to those rules. That's why it's wrong for you to break those rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember agreeing to a bunch of rules that are imposed on me,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of tributes I need to pay, and a bunch of things that I can't do. Yeah,
supposed to pay tributes to, like, abortion or, you know, indoctrination, and
that can't be right.
Yeah,
pretty much nobody has interpreted those things this way
mm-hmm.
in the entire line of history of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems impossible that any other answer.
Which is, like, how do people have such loyalty to governments and kings and
really
stuff like that, that they force themselves to interpret it like, but no, but they're cool. Like, come on. I don't know.
Like,
there's something in the chat. My main point is, how can anyone today know after, like, 4,000, 2,000 years that Old Testament, New Testament of Bible today are anything like the original? Knowing that Satan is the liar, wouldn't his first move be to corrupt the very source of pure faith? It's pretty easy to figure out.
He did. It's called Gnostic Apocrypha,
Protestantism.
And every single New Age thing.
Yeah, charismatic, whatever, you know.
But it's in the beginning, it's Gnostic Apocrypha. It's right there. Gnostic Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha.
Yeah, it's, like, it's pretty straightforward to deduce, like, you can do it logically. You can do it from, like, its effects and products.
There's, like, old texts, like old Bibles. They've just been translated. Like, you could still look at the, refer back to the oldest, like, writings, and that confirms that they're not being modified over it. Because I think that's what that guy is arguing, is that, oh, like, it gets translated and, like, they change and take things out, but there's really old biblical records that you could refer back to irrefutable.
There's a book. Oh yeah, the book of Isaiah has a prophecy in it. Contains a prophecy in it pertaining to Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, specifically, and it, which is awesome, that this is the oldest known extant piece of the Bible. I think it's a 7th century before Christ amulet containing a piece of Isaiah. And it's nearly identical to the Isaiah we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
The words are the same. So if, how much is that? It's 2,000 years plus 7 centuries. That's what, 2,700 years we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same. So if that's possible, mm-hmm. how is 2,000 years a challenge?
Yes, we were talking about King of Lies, like a crazy powerful being. And you're telling me it's illogical that he could taint? No, he has. We recognize that, but there's still, like, and you can figure it out. It's not like it's impossible to figure out why Protestantism or Gnosticism is, you know, wrong.
Mormonism?
There's still, just all sorts of crazy stuff. But, like, there's still parts of it that we know for sure are intact and all that.
in all languages, it's the same. I've checked, like, people say, oh, there's over 70,000 translations to the Bible. Yeah, and I've checked them. Like, they're like, instead of David went for it to do this, it was like, David did this. That's the difference.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, yeah, translation is important, but if you look at all of them and you compare, it's like...
Not that different.
At the important places that people dispute, it's really never over translation, even.
Yeah, it's interpretation. That's the that's the biggest source of issues between every single Christian understanding is interpretation. And yeah, that has happened, and it has been happening, and we've already pinpointed it. You don't have to tell us, is what I'm saying. We get it. Yeah, it's called Gnostic Apocrypha. People believe it in it all the time. Lilith is a thing. That's Talmudic Apocrypha from seven centuries after. That's Jewish mysticism. And we take, like, oh, did you know that the Bible was altered and Adam's first wife was actually Lilith and she was a feminist to the girl boss? Yeah, that came out seven centuries after and people act like it's true. That's what it is.
I'm just curious about the know for sure part. I mean, yeah, you have the, what was it, Isaiah example?
Yeah.
Like, you look at it, you know, I mean, people have been reasoning through this for 2,000 years. If, why would Satan alter it in a way that doesn't make it evil? Is what
also,
I'm asking.
Like, you necessarily have to believe in a benevolent monotheistic God. You really
Gnostic
think
Apocrypha.
The word perish out completely from earth?
Yeah, that's another one. Like, depends on if you believe in it or not, but, you know.
If you believe in a benevolent God, then he would never let that happen. Hence why when Jesus left, he left his body, the church. It's never completely absent. Always here with us. So the word is still with us. And alive. In the church. So it has been preserved. Otherwise... then if Satan was all that powerful, then he could just change the Bible entirely and make it so, like, the first commandment is you should rape your daughter like you rape your... Well, I guess you should rape everybody like you rape your daughter.
Because making something overtly evil makes it see-through. I mean, yeah, that we went over that with Protestantism. Like, faith alone, oh, that doesn't seem so bad. And then it leads you to pessimism, nihilism, like... nothing you do matters, your fate is already sealed. It's not overly evil, but, like, that's the degree to which it could be done.
Yeah,
if it,
I'm not saying...
Man, how subtle are you talking?
I'm not saying... I'm saying it's hyper-subtle, actually, because most people don't even know. Like, for example, when you go to heaven, do you have a body? Like, a physical body?
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Eventually, yes.
And a lot of people instinctively presume, well, it's probably nothing like here. You probably don't even have a body. You're probably just an essence. Yeah, that's Gnosticism. That's all Gnostic. That idea of that. You can hurt your soul with your body. And they're, like, the flesh is an enemy. So maybe bodies aren't good. That's Gnosticism, too. And it's easy to arrive upon. It's very easy to arrive upon. The world is corrupt. Should we just abandon the world entirely? Gnosticism, too. It's very subtle. You can barely notice. People do that all the time. People we like do that and get into that. And to the point where, in a lot of ways, Gnostics don't even call themselves Gnostics. They do believe that they're Christian, but they're also a few other things. But they say that they're Christian.
Yeah.
They're never going to say, well, and it is, it works. That's Satan's deception. I'm saying that I've noticed it. I'm not saying that there isn't. I'm saying that I've noticed it. It's not even, well, if you actually pay attention, if you open your eyes, you find it easily. Wikipedia pages about it.
Dude, how long have we been streaming? It's already 12. Well, I guess it was...
yeah, hour and a half. I'm so happy. Man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I like the stream.
No, this is good. Usually we have, like, a lot of silence. We're just, like, chilling, gaming. But this has been jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
I don't know. I think it's like we have our own school on it, just for the interpretations of the give to Caesar and the I'll give you all the kingdoms and trust not in princes. So
there's a whole like little subtext there that I really do believe it has not been picked up on until like very recently, very very recently. I think the closest. Like 20th century and after, we have Hapa. But before that was like the School of Salamanca in the 16th century. And before that, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. I guess people sort of intuitively figured this out sometimes when they rebelled against tyrannical governments.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like articulately, there's no document with this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Catholic Church kind of makes it a point not to be involved with politics. I think, like...
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Me too. There's, that is something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was so that you should rule the world with Christianity, if it was okay, like, then why wouldn't the church say you should become Christian and, like, dominate the entire earth? Why don't they do that right now? Why aren't they trying to do that?
Because they respect free will.
Why have they relegated themselves to the Vatican?
I have a Bible verse. I'll use the New Living Translation. Wait, it's Matthew 10. Oh, snap. I just clicked it away. It's Matthew 10:18. It says, you will stand trial before the governors and kings because you are my followers. And then there's another Bible verse that I'm trying to find. It's like basically says you're going to be a Trojan horse and you go up into their palaces, or you go up into their, I assume, government buildings modern day to like show them God's word and argue against them. So we're supposed to actively be working with them, but not like side by side as comrades, but kind of like a battle, like constantly them. Like with them.
I'm with that. I can go with that. I'm for actively working against every single system that resembles that. The a secular.
Maybe
government.
Today, not throughout history for sure. Catholic Church was very much into politics. I don't know how true is that.
I really don't think that's true.
Hmm.
Because even the Crusades, it was just the Pope asking dudes, like, you should do this. And they were already very enraged that they were getting their territories taken over. So the Pope didn't have a...
But that's not political. That's like the president. Injustice being committed. Like,
there's never been a president Pope.
That's a self-defense situation.
Yeah,
though. Against Lena Dunham or whatever, the Middle East.
the Lena Dunham, the Saracen.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Pope like ordering. It wasn't the Pope being the medieval UN and saying like, "Oh, you gotta fight these dudes."
That's like very popular to think, and it's not considered a conspiracy theory at all, which is
and it's even more specific than asking. He authorized, meaning people already wanted to do it. He just said, "Okay, start the war." That's all he did. So, like, you this is everybody thinks this stuff, that the Catholic Church was heavily political. When? I wish politics was more like the church. It wouldn't be so god awful.
That's true.
I mean, they were literal papal states. Yeah, what are those?
What are those?
I don't know. Yes, the Pope and church owned land, but that didn't mean they meddled in politics. Is that literally just they just had land? What does that mean?
These holdings were considered to be a manifestation of the temporal power of the Pope as opposed to his ecclesiastical primacy. So it was owned by the man that was the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't religious. it wasn't connected to the religious.
Yeah, that's like, oh, the Catholic Church, if you took all the priests and you took all their belongings, like their houses, and then you added that to, like, the holdings of the church, the net worth of the church. Like, no, they're, like, people on top of having those positions.
It didn't belong to the office. It belonged to the guy.
Not just had land, basically a mini kingdom of their own in Italy, also had direct effect on European politics by favoring some nobles, kings over others, etc. I wouldn't know about that, but should we look into that?
Direct effect on European politics by favoring some nobles, kings over others. Give me an example of that. I mean, I'm not saying it had no influence on statesmen. I'm saying that they never had the final say, ever. Very often they were obstacles because statesmen and people from the government wanted to start wars or do things, and the Pope would say, no, don't do that. And that's very annoying.
If that's considered being influential in politics, then I don't know what's good influence, but it's not politicking in the usual way, which is like being deceptive and snaking for power, and you know. It was very anti-power because, like, they would get in the way of wars and in the way of, you know, what the people wanted to do, to centralize or what have you.
There isn't, like, if you're gonna make the claim that the church was influencing politics, point me to their infrastructure, because I can't even see how that's possible if they wanted it. You really think the church could overpower all these secular governments on their own? Are you insane? It's impossible. They couldn't do that now with a nuclear bomb if they wanted to. They don't. But even if they wanted to, they couldn't. They had to depend on the good favor of the actual statesmen. They never were. They never had the final say. Even with the burnings. People talk about the burnings. It was basically, you know, when people go to LA and they make a survey of who's an atheist, and then they say LA is a representative of the entire United States, and say 50% of the people in the United States are atheists. It's like that. They have all these secular people, government officials, using the religion as an excuse to burn all these political dissidents. And then he asks one priest, like, hey, what do you think of this? And the priest says, yeah, it's cool. And then that's the church. Dude, even the Pope doesn't represent the entire church. Because how could he? He is the only a guy. He's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ isn't a single... The only person that the body of Christ is Christ. It couldn't be the Pope. To be the Pope is the seat of St. Peter. St. Peter wasn't a perfect man. He wasn't sinless. So even with apostolic succession, nothing implies that the Pope is, even the Pope is infallible outside of his office as the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
He is infallible within his office. Outside, he's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he can think of, like, he can say people won't go to hell for, you know, aborting their babies. He can be wrong. That's mm-hmm. what it's called.
Yeah.
He's not perfect.
This kind of reminds me of how they say, like, because I have a friend who's a police officer, and then he told me, like, this guy gets into a terrible motorbike accident, right, and he dies, but they declare his death a corona death because he had corona coincidentally when he got into the motorbike accident, mm-hmm. and it's, like, that bullshit statistic thing that they do to, like, manipulate numbers, and I'm assuming that's what they do with a lot of, like, people who intentionally, like, take, like, Christians out of context, or like skew the numbers in a way that they want them to be seen.
Yeah, that's we've already talked about this in a video, but it's very easy to misunderstand what the church is and was. I see this guy saying they had a pretty strong influence on European politics, but he says he doesn't think that they could overpower secular governments. Okay, then how did they do it, if not exactly the way I'm saying? they still dependent on the good favor and the choice of of statesmen.
Yeah, yeah. England was able to just break off entirely, create a whole new religion, just because the dude wanted a divorce. So that seems like not a lot of influence and power.
Meddle in politics. What does it mean to meddle? I mean, they influenced statesmen? Yeah, well, Christianity did. And they just had the best...
Yeah, because it was very popular.
Yeah, and they happened to be the best example of Christianity. But they that's not a direct control of anything. They're not the UN. They didn't have power on their own. They still depended on these other entities to enact anything. Yeah, and European kings were often enemies with popes. And that basically has no consequence other than the pope not liking you. You're still a king. People are still going to respect you, even if the pope doesn't like you.
Dude, UN has even less influence over stuff than Catholic Church. What?
That's crazy right there.
That's crack smoke. What?
At this point, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Who are you talking to? Who is this guy?
Dude. That's so crazy. Why would you even say that? That's so insane.
This guy's probably a Mormon.
No, he said he's nominally a Muslim.
I'm joking. All right.
So that's even worse.
Things are falling into place.
Yeah, at no point, imagine at no point in history, Hitler would go and say, I'm going to kill all the Jews, and the Pope say, no, you won't. And Hitler was going to be like, okay, sorry. No, Hitler was like, I'm going to kill him anyway, because I don't care. And that's what it was with all kings. If the Pope didn't like it, it was like, okay. I can just choose not to do it.
For real, though, UN is pretty powerless in most situations. It's an unelected body that all countries report to. Huh?
That's crazy. You're talking crazy right now. You're talking Joe Rogan right now.
How is the Catholic Church more powerful than that when all politicians are not only atheists, but, satanic, Luciferian, in direct opposition, and are, and probably would say, oh, no, Christianity is hindering feminism and progress and probably causing climate change.
And you still haven't provided me with the direct example of how they meddled in politics.
Yeah.
They propagated Christianity, and I bet that has influenced a bunch of people, obviously. But isn't that just Christ? And wouldn't that be a good thing? So you must be saying that
the Catholic Church has...
You must be claiming that it has had some spurious influence on politics. If so, how?
Give me a bit to Google, bro. I'm not a historian. Oh, we'll give me the time. It's fine.
I just looked up papal states to be sure.
We're laying it on heavy. So.
When Mussolini was in power, he basically, sieged the Pope. That's Italy, and people there are Catholic for real, and they were okay with their leader sieging the Pope. So I'm not sure if that's actually very true.
I never said negative positive influence, just influence over politics. I mean, fair enough, just due to the power of Christianity, but I don't know, whenever I hear that, I always suspect a negative connotation with that, because that's usually how people talk about it.
How could the church influence things negatively?
Probably exactly. If they're using their own fake rules versus God's rules, so not actually.
Yeah, I don't know if you had bad or a crazy pope, but I wouldn't know. There's been so many. There probably is, though, obviously, but
yeah, but that false again, prophets. That's not the church. You would have to give me
They call themselves the church. and people can't tell the difference who are outside of the church.
They're members of the church, yeah, but it would have to be like, what element, what inherent element of the Catholic Church has negatively influenced the secular world? And that's literally impossible.
It's people like Westboro Baptist Church who like kind of fuck up the name for a lot of like actual believers.
Yeah, and that's like what? Like 20 people attend that church? It's literally
There's
one
so
church.
So many people base their opinion off of it. Like opinion off of God, like off those 20 fucking people every single
makes
time.
You think.
It's so irritating.
If, for example, in Poland or similarly a religious society, priests during sermons promote a certain presidential candidate over another, is that not influence over politics? Okay, we've come to the point. You're misunderstanding what the church is. The church is not the people in the church, and they're not the buildings either. The church is the body of Christ, and...
Mm-hmm. So no one can be Christ himself, and it's the...
I'd say members of the Catholic Church, or Catholics...
Mm-hmm.
Influence politics, but the Catholic Church, it emitted papal bulls like, don't have slaves. That's the kind of thing that we're emitting bulls over. That's the kind of way they influence politics. I'm pretty sure that Brazil only stopped having slaves because of the church, because it was a Catholic country and they had a problem with that. And slavery was a really old thing. Like, it was for, you had serfs in the Middle Ages. And slavery came back with Protestantism. Like, it had a resurgence. You only had real slavery back in Africa. Chattel slavery was really a thing of old. And it came back when the Catholic Church was no longer in guidance of secular power. So you're going to have to find me like papal bulls that say things that are bad, but you won't. Keep sending stuff though. I'm going to be looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Holy Roman Emperor. Excommunicated. Okay, excommunication is still within the realm of...
Okay, Papal Bull 1245. Let me see right this now. One. Okay. Charges against Sancho II of Portugal. Okay, so you said it says that remove Sancho II of Portugal from the throne to be replaced by his brother Afonso. Popes literally removed emperors and kings. Did it remove him from power? Because here it says just charges against him.
Because if the Pope...
Right, it was one later. Remove Sancho II of Portugal from the throne. Let me see. Is there more detail on it? I'm By the time of his accession to the throne in 1223... Oh, this doesn't cite any sources?
Nice.
This article does not cite any sources. Well, that's cool. Anyways, by the time...
Okay, 1247, Pope Innocent IV ordered Sancho II to be removed from the throne and to be replaced by the Count of Bologna. Alfonso, of course, now refused the papal order and consequently marched to Portugal. What am I reading here? I'm not sure that it happened exactly like that.
Well, yeah, it literally has zero sources on this article.
But even if it is,
where is it from?
The Pope did exactly that. Again, world secular authorities are not like a necessity. For example, Islam has a very direct command for Muslims to get geopolitical power. This is undisputable. There is no such thing in any catechism or in any part of Catholic doctrine, or even Protestant doctrine for that matter. That's not a Christian, that's not a piece of Christian, any kind of Christian doctrine. Grandi non emerito. Let's find that. Effectively removed Sancho II of Portugal, replacing him with his brother and heir, Afonso. Okay. He issued the bull. Urging the people and nobility of Portugal to receive the Count of Boulogne and to pay him fidelity homage and allegiance in accordance. And they did that because they wanted to. It wasn't the papal army taking anything by force here. He didn't kill Sancho.
I don't understand. Like, Spain and Portugal chose to listen to him.
They had no way to enforce that. Yeah, he said do this, and they did it. And it's probably for a good reason, because Sancho was probably terrible. The Pope had.
They had to listen. Why?
Why?
Does the Pope have an army?
I think it had it at some point, but. Obviously not anything at the... Probably like just for defense purposes.
Is it because they're worried about their image if they don't listen
because
to the church? What's
of
the claim?
Were ready to stab him. Yeah, papal states had an army. Yeah. No, you're confusing. Crusaders are a different thing. Hundreds of nobles are ready to stab him. Yeah. That's still not the Pope, though. The Pope
nobles...
didn't say, go kill this dude.
Wait, nobles in Spain and Portugal? So it was already a guy they wanted to remove from power. Or...
And then the Pope gave them authorization, so it wasn't the Pope, actually, that moved this. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as the Crusades. The Pope wasn't telling people, wasn't, like, commanding them to do anything. He just gave them authority. Or, like, a papal blessing. It's a nice cop-out because you can consider most things a moral spiritual issue. I don't really care about what specific... as I already said, members of the church can do whatever they want. It doesn't affect the doctrine. This one was probably justified because apparently it was in a near-anarchical state. So Sancho was probably terrible. So Pope Innocent was probably correct in doing that. But... even if he was wrong, it's not that, like, effective. when we're talking doctrine. The doctrine doesn't involve, you know, anything like that. And if you think about it, sort of. Yeah, even if this is as direct, as you're trying to say here, the Pope didn't actually do anything other than say what should happen. And other people did it. Because they already wanted to before. But then again, you're defining that as political, then it's not that, like, it can be anything. Then excommunicating Luther was political, too. Yeah, the problem is with the definition. We shouldn't get bogged down in this stuff. Politics is so terrible. What are you laughing at, Lotus?
A Catholic and a Muslim fighting over politics.
Not that I would know of a lot of papal bulls. I've read like three, but nothing gives any pope or priest any political authority at all. Nor are they told to do that. Actually, they're forbidden from doing that, aren't they? So it goes against the doctrine. I guess that's what we should draw the line at. The doctrine shouldn't even get into the actual persons involved in it. And it did happen because people respect him. Well, yeah, I guess that's a difference of definition of politics. See, the way politics work is that you have to obey, otherwise cops are going to kill you. That's how the UN does things. If you, you know, if you own a compound and you own a lot of guns and you live with a bunch of people and you're declared a danger, then the UN raids it. Like Obama tells them to do it.
And you Obama. Have to obey that. Yeah. Still secretly in power. I voted for Obama in 2016.
And that's how it works. It's very much.
Honestly, though, I'm gonna stop. Did you read that one? Honestly, though, I'm gonna stop because I'm not sure. I don't think we're arguing about a clear topic. I'm not sure I understand what you mean as political meddling if none of these apply. Well, I think we got off track a lot. I mean, I guess The ultimate point would be that it doesn't really matter. Like, why bring it up? Because the substance of the church is the doctrine and not the people who compose it, because humans are, like, pretty awful on the whole, so.
You can find me tons of popes who are bad. Doesn't actually affect the church. If we're talking doctrine here, it may have happened. I'm not sure if it's a bad thing, though. It's probably better. I'd rather have the pope influencing politics than anybody else.
Well, it's like they think no one is Christian in Europe, and Vatican forces them into accepting religious rules. Like, there's a huge majority of Christians in Europe, not as much as in the past, but it still has influence and people pick political parties which follow Catholic Christianity. Well, that's not really true, because there's no political party that follows Catholic Christianity. But also, like, it's their choice what to believe still, so then you're just saying the belief is very powerful, and then you have to ask why so many people stick to believing it.
Man.
Didn't Europe, like, declare religion dead recently? Like, they said God isn't real. Like, most people in Europe don't believe in him anymore.
Wait, now I'm seeing some stuff here that is incongruent. Mm-hmm. I have to talk about it. Dumb Diverses is not about slavery. It's about prisoners of war. And honestly, I'm cool with, Saracen marauders getting taken as POWs. I don't have a problem with that. Let me see. Romanus Pontifex. I might have also checked this one.
So, see, what does it mean when it says allowed? Does it mean I approve of you doing this? Like, you're in my good graces if you do this? Like, it's not like they could enforce it, it's only like, oh, this makes my head hurt. Like, what does that mean?
Allowed of Spain, a start of Spanish Inquisition. Are you getting these off an article? Because they're all the same issue. It's like, Dum Diversus and Romanus Pontifex are regarding the same thing. It's within a war, it's okay to take prisoners of war because of the danger that they pose. After, I think a century later, Pope Paul III corrected this by saying, not just because you can take prisoners of war that are from pagan countries doesn't mean you can enslave all non-Christians. He clarified that, well, I guess in the linearity of the church, it was clarified that you can't just enslave people who aren't Christian. So this is already solved. Anyone who disobeys the Pope is a heretic? Technically true. What can you do? Spanish Inquisition? Good and cool.
It was their choice to care about being called a heretic.
What do we do with heretics? Burn them. Nah. Because if that was true, then there would be no heretics. Learn about Spanish Inquisition? Okay. For example, when the Pope said it was, this was during the thing might have been during the Inquisition that the Pope said that it's incorrect to say that in no circumstance heretics should be burned. Yeah, because some heretics think that pregnant women need to be stabbed. I think those people should be burned. Not all heresy is like, I believe in astrology. Some heresy is, I want to kill pregnant women. And yeah, those people need to die. Because they want to kill pregnant women. What do you mean? I'm okay with that. And every single one of the bad dudes in the Spanish Inquisition was later like judged by the church itself, like Savonarola. So it's all corrected within the church. Again, defer to the, because it's the body of Christ, keeps correcting the people that claim to be members of it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not being truthful to the doctrine.
This, this person's listing a lot of Christian European political parties, but how could that even be when they're, you know, enforcing like taxes and probably up to all sorts of insane things and letting like Muslims come into the country illegally, then rape children and giving them 2 hours of community service?
Yeah, you gotta define the Catholic Church, and you gotta,
especially Germany, because that's a huge problem there.
Mm-hmm.
No joke, but and UK.
It's really, people get really frustrated and think it's obscurantism. Man, I really think I'm talking too much. But what Jordan Peterson says, like, you got to really define what you're talking about. The Catholic Church is the body of Christ, literally and in every possible way. That's what it is. The members of the church aren't the church, etc. I've already said this. And politics isn't, you should do this, and then they do it. That's not politics. Politics is, if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. That's politics.
Yeah.
You got to pay me money or you're going to go to prison. That's mm-hmm. politics. It's a monopoly of force. There is no
Yeah, money. Yeah, it's not murder if you say I'm going to murder you and you have no way to do it.
I'm going to murder you.
I'm going to murder you. Well, Germany accepted so many immigrants because of war crimes that waits them from their past. They don't want to be responsible for deaths of other innocent people. Yeah, but then letting them all in, and then the ones that are clearly rapists of children, because they do it 5 times, and saying, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. Oh! This makes me
You gotta be sure you're talking about the same thing. Because politics is a very specific thing for me. It's when a group of people monopolize power. Whatever they are. And the Catholic Church doesn't even have the infrastructure to do that. Today, literally 1.3 billion people. This is trolling. Someone should ban this guy. Isn't this guy the pedophile, by the way? I haven't talked about this since I saw his name.
What?
Isn't that the same guy who was a
smooth username?
Isn't that Daniel Hooch?
Is that?
I remember that. I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
Is a pedophile?
That one, no.
Dan, did you unban him? I remember you saying that, but I don't remember why. He's Daniel Hooch. He's the Daniel Hooch, the pedophile.
No, I don't know.
I didn't think too much about this. Lotus, is this fun for you? Because I feel like I'm being boring at this point.
Oh, no. It's very compelling.
You're the representative of the audience because you never talk.
Yeah.
Well, I don't talk a lot because I tend, like, if I'm pretty ignorant about something, I try not to, like, speak. And you guys definitely overpower me in IQ points, so I just keep my mouth shut. And only speak about what I know.
Yeah, try to defend your borders against millions of people. It's much more terrible in there than the border between USA and Mexico. Okay, you don't understand. It's not like people coming in and you can't keep track of them. It's they know they're in the country. They've been arrested. They have a criminal record. And they say, do some community service and you're good, chief. We're not even going to deport you.
The forehead vein is now popping on Sophia.
Oh.
Yeah, this is he just wants freedom to touch kids.
This is my topic.
He's just defending himself.
This is my topic.
This is my topic. I'm the connoisseur.
Exploited by Muslims. This is what I prepared all
this. This is what I was made for.
Sophia's Rock Lee taking off the shin.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. This is what I was thought. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Any other cool Bible things? We got another 20 minutes, I think.
I don't know. Maybe we just chill, talk about retarded stuff. I'm trying to get Lotus to leave Hawaii.
No, I want to stay here forever.
Yeah, do that.
Well, not forever, but
out of autumn.
For a while. Yuck, are you serious?
What? Why is that yuck?
Ugh,
go to Texas.
Mainland is like terrible.
Why?
People there. I don't like
go to Alaska then.
Political BS. Maybe one day.
Political BS on mainland.
Yeah, lots of like, there's so much like racial tension and so much like anger. Like it's just not fun. It's not a good time over there. Everyone here doesn't give a fuck.
Okay, I experienced racial tension in California, you could say, but, because there isn't even any other races if you go, like, deep enough into America.
Yeah.
It's just literally just white people.
People
who are half Asian as well.
So normie. There's so much normie energy. Like
it's not normie. It's norm. It's normal. Just
I
normal.
Hate that. I can't. I hate
your example of mainland is what? Chicago? Yeah, of course you're gonna think it's hell.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've been.
Guess why Chicago is hell?
Oh come on. There's so many reasons. There's many reasons.
Yeah.
What are they?
Drugs and poverty.
Not every place. Drugs, poverty. That's Chicago. That's like big cities when you have no money and you have to live in the projects. Like
this is the face of the problem right here. This is what it looks like looking at you out the subway.
Ooh, chow. Ooh, chow. Big boobs. What?
Big boobs. What?
No, but I mean, you get better living situations if you go in places like in the middle of America because you have twice the money. You could like get a house, live in a nice place. You're not, it's not crackheads all over America.
Yeah, and I would say,
what's the point of a
unless
house?
It might be your circle, perhaps that is a little less. Of course, like places like California and New York are militant about it. But it might be your circle in Hawaii because people there are pretty not good.
Yeah.
I would say.
What do you mean?
Like, it's very left-leaning state.
Oh, politically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't have many friends in general. I did recently finally just make a friend who's a girl who watches censored TV. She's a fan. She became my friend. Wow. So she's based. And I was like, oh, cool. So I have one friend now.
She needs to comment.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Oh, that's true. I don't know how she found you. Yeah. But she's cool. Also military. Which is cool.
That's awesome. You should probably go to Alaska. That would be cool to have somebody living in Alaska.
That might be nice.
Mm-hmm.
To own land and, like, hunt. That sounds fun.
That's that's basically Canada at that point.
Maybe. In the future. I like it here a lot. Also, I don't want a house. Like, unless I had, like, a family that needs
houses can
their personal space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's important. But, like, for me, I feel really happy being in a smaller, like, low-maintenance environment. I wouldn't want to, like, stress of, like, a house and mortgage and shit. That sounds so terrible.
Yeah,
I like paying, like, a small bill, not worrying about electricity and, like, Wi-Fi. It's just all in one. You know what I mean? One and done. Boom.
It's sort of inevitable. It comes upon you eventually one day. You wake up and you think, yeah, I have to buy an $800 water filter. That's what it feels like to you. Once you think, yeah, I can just live anywhere. I can just, like, sleep on a rug and use my friend's computer and stuff.
That's me.
Yeah, and then you start thinking, man, the water tastes bad. I wonder how many chemicals are in this. Maybe I should buy the $800 water filter I saw on Amazon. Maybe it'll be better than. Man, I wish I could hang a painting, et cetera, et cetera.
Water here naturally filters through the mountains, actually, in Hawaii. So it's pretty pure water. It's pretty good water. They bottle this shit up. I'm not kidding you. They bottle it up and sell it to people because it's, like, good water.
That's crazy.
It's pretty cool.
No bimbo sauce in there, I guess. Or whatever.
No bimbo sauce.
There's gotta be some.
In the water, oh.
When there is, like, a volcano exploding, or, like a big enough wave, that would be, like, two problematic things.
Oh, yeah, also owning a gun is cool. Can you own a gun in Hawaii?
It's so hard to own a fucking gun here. I've tried it. They're so... It's really, really impossible. The only way you could really realistically do it is, like, a lot of fucking procedure, and you can't carry it outside. It has to be in your house, so it's almost useless. Just to protect your house. And even then, they have a law where you're not allowed to shoot if you're being attacked. You have to try to run away first.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
If you don't run away first, then you can use it. Like,
that's
if you
so
use
nice.
Your gun without running away, you get in trouble.
My move there.
It's so stupid. But there's barely any gun violence here because of it, which is great. So there's not...
Yeah, that's the
record.
I bet it was already like that before. I bet
that's the sissy bimbo law.
Like that before.
Sissy bimbo law, you can't defend yourself. Get raped.
Yeah, right? It's so gross. I hate that law.
Jeez.
But yeah, there's not a lot of violence in here anyway. There's only a small minority that, like, creates violence.
Yeah, because you live with basically
Chinese
people.
Don't interfere with normal people.
That's Hawaiians.
Yeah.
It's all Japanese, Chinese, Korean. Mostly Japanese. And then, so it's pretty peaceful. Not too bad. That's why I like it, peaceful too. No, like, scary shit going on, you know? I don't have to worry too
No
far.
Black people.
Unless they're homeless. Homeless are kind of violent.
Yeah, yeah, in Hawaii. Yeah. There's not that many people you gotta worry about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you can... There's other places where there's, you know, not that many worrisome people.
Oh, man, I love that.
It's not just people. It's the environment as well. Like, I love the tropical climate, the mountains.
Yeah,
the
environment. The environment looks like. The environment looks
like
this. That's what the environment looks like. You look around, that's all you see.
I'm so lost. It looks nice. It's cool over here. And it's easy to get around. Like, I don't have to drive, I could walk. And, like, be at the mall in, like, 10 minutes, you know what I mean? It's so convenient.
Yeah, it got, like, Obama
it's
energy.
Close.
Obama was born, well, Obama is sort of from Hawaii. And,
I see you. perfect.
I guess it's Obama energy there.
No one talks about him over here. You'd think he'd be like everywhere in his face. Like I said, no one really, I think because a lot of them are from other countries, they don't give a fuck about our politics.
Yeah.
So they don't talk.
Yeah, they're Chinese, so basically they don't even believe in presidents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like people, like Japanese people who still walk around with like the imperialist, like Japanese flag, yeah, and it makes obviously a lot of, they'll have their conflicts with Koreans and stuff that like,
nice.
Asian race wars.
Racism. That's my favorite when racism is weird and unexpected, like people hating other people or Koreans hating Chinese. What's that all about? They're basically
Koreans and Japanese.
That's
And
well,
they occupied, like the Japanese too occupied China and Korea, so they both kind of have a grudge against Japan.
That's crazy. Fellows. Japan is like a tiny island nation. And then
invaded
them.
Dude, Japan
is
insane. I really get it.
Mm-hmm.
They're crazy. They're cutthroat, dude. Until America showed up and then dropped a couple wee-woos on them. Now they're kind of different. Their mentality changed after
Now they're built different.
This nuclear bomb dropping on the on the Catholic churches in Nagasaki made me act different. Do be hitting different.
Yeah, do be hitting different.
Yo, these nukes on the Catholic church. Churches in Nagasaki do be hitting different. Thank you, Mr. Truman. You taught me how to act right.
Yeah, true real man, Morowitz.
What's his name? Morowitz? No. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Morowitz. You make me act right. Now I sell my produce cheaper.
Jesus. You can't handle the racism. Libtard. No, I'm kidding.
Man, the amount of racism, like anti-Slavic racism I've thrown at Sophia is insane at this point.
Yeah.
I think everyone. No, it's not really racist. Everyone should learn to laugh at and just like
Take things too hard. Yesterday, I was talking to Sophia about working out, and there's this guy called Athlean X, and he has like these challenge videos. And one of them is we started making up names for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 30-day Bulgarian. What was that? What was the challenge?
Bulgarian challenge, or it was some workout challenge, and then the parentheses became Bulgarian on accident or whatever.
Yeah, actually, the next 30-day challenge went wrong. Became Bulgarian.
you do too
many Bulgarian squats, you become Bulgarian. You should go to Alaska. Alaska's cool.
People are kind of weird. They're so, like, outlandish. Have you ever met Alaskans? I meet them all the time. They come here because...
Oh, I live in Brazil. Why would I meet Alaskans?
Hmm.
I don't even meet Argentinians.
They're just different. They're different. They're really weird
people. My dad has a friend who is from Alaska and then is in California now, but he's like sort of ANCAP like me. I was like, huh, that's weird.
Once you live away from it all, it's
like, isn't it a lot of like indigenous people there just being alcoholic and just chilling?
Yeah, it's like Canada. It's exactly like Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's indigenous people being alcoholics. That's Canada in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
They're just weird. They're so disassociated. It feels like they're from a different planet.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, but they are. They really are. It's like once you live far away from stuff for a long enough time, I think you physiologically change in major ways.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain works different. Like you see different, you hear different. It's almost like it's almost like reverse PTSD. You become like calmer, you become less nervous.
I'm still nervous. I've changed a lot though.
Yeah, but
I had
you
to
lived
get out
in,
of my bubble.
You lived in BK Chicago, dude. So
DK so Donkey Kong Chicago.
That's better. So that probably made you a little more nervous than the average person who lives in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Going to a public school for, I don't know, like 12 years of my life, it takes a toll. Because you start thinking, like, am I going to get robbed? That's how you go about, like, walk. People, there's a lot of people who don't have that. There's a lot of people who don't have that. I wonder if I'll get robbed today when I walk to the market. Some people don't have that at all. And it's a very different experience. I'm scared of dogs, but I'm not actually scared of dogs themselves. I'm scared of if a dog attacks me on the street and I kick the dog or hit the dog in any way, that his owner is going to kill me for hurting his dog. Because people here and their animals, they're one and the same. So you never know when, you know, you're gonna kick somebody's dog and they're going to shoot you in the head for it. Wow. It's like, it's the same thing as cars for like people who are crazy and addicted to crack or selling drugs.
I'm laughing at Donkey Kong Chicago. Donkey Kong to Chicago.
Man, the stream was really good. It exhausted me. It was so good. It was like energy all came out.
Like,
dude, I pub girled in like 16 directions.
Yo. Wait,
Huh? What?
I was telling Vic he could be a priest one day, but I forgot you can't be married, right?
Yeah, I could become an Orthodox priest, but I really don't want to do that.
Just keep to making streams.
I'll keep to making streams. I don't have the fortitude to be a priest.
The fortitude.
That seems impossible.
I definitely don't. I'll be going crazy. I'll be smoking crack within a month. They'd open my, you know, my priestly chambers, and they just catch me, you know, my bed has no mattress, and I'm sitting down in the corner smoking, just hitting the pipe.
How does a bed not have a mattress? Like, just a bed frame?
Yeah, just the bed frame. That's what they'll find when they go into my priestly chambers. Just the bed frame and me smoking crack. You get to work out as a priest, though. You get to work out and play video games. That's based.
Huh?
Do you know that?
No. What do you mean?
You can lift.
But wouldn't you be able to?
I don't know.
How would there be a rule against? Like,
when you talk about priests to people, they think sort of monkish. They think it's a monk thing. That you can't do, like, 99% of the things. Dude, a couple days ago, I literally just saw my priest, like, riding a bike. And I thought, that's crazy. I would never imagine him like that. But it is a pretty normal life. It's like you're 15% stranger than a normal person if you're a priest.
Mm-hmm.
They're still like human beings. They just have to like abide by God's rule a little bit more with regard, like seriousness. Because they're an ambassador and represent and speak about God. And you don't want to misrepresent him by doing some stupid shit.
It'd also be very, especially in places where there's a lot of people, imagine the kind of things you'd be hearing in confession. I'd be...
Yikes.
I would be smoking crack. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm telling you. I'd be smoking crack in a month.
Yeah.
That's all right. Scary.
We should wrap it up.
Yeah.
And, I have to... People here are all from Subscribestar, right? Pretty much.
I don't know. Sometimes we randos.
We need people to send in, like, to submit suggestions for stuff to, for Bible stuff to talk about. Because that's always very good. Because I don't really got that many in my mind.
You don't?
No, I'm halfway through the Bible, but, like, so much stuff is, like, this is the thing. I've already talked to this about this to Sophia, is that there's a lot of stuff that we read. And that we think, oh yeah, this is obviously this that I'm thinking. But it's really not. People really don't think like we do often.
Yeah.
And we have to
notice, like,
oh, these are pressure points.
Mm-hmm.
I have to talk about this. There's something to elaborate here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to get that from external sources, necessarily.
Yeah.
Oh, but this was really good, man. Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. You should check out the ideas. Document sometimes.
Oh yeah,
soon,
I'll go do that right now.
Because some stuff got added, and I know you're gonna delete stuff, but
that's my job. I'm the janitor at this point. All right. Next week, same time, Lotus? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sounds good.
All right, awesome. That's ideal. And next week, same time to the audience as well. See you fellas later.
Peace.